Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Ledge. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian, chairman of the Building Materials and Projectile Staging and Logistics Committee of the Western Florida Guild of Professional Anarchists, Local Chapter 151. Wiley, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing okay. I can't complain.
Yeah. Doing all right.
All right.
So, feeling pretty good today.
I love it that line was like ad-libbed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think he just kind of like, he said it all the time anyway, so.
I mean, it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Days of Confused, right?
Yes, Days of Confused. Yeah. Great movie.
Wasn't that his like a first movie or something?
That was his first movie.
Haven't we had this discussion before?
I don't know.
This seems, I'm having like a total deja vu. I'm pretty sure that we've gone through this entire sequence to start the show more than one time.
Maybe. It's possible. That's still a good movie.
Are we repeating ourselves now? Are we just going to turn into two old men that just keep saying the same things over and over?
Back in my day.
I remember when.
So I don't know what personal thing to go with first, so I'm just going to go with the beard part first. As I see where you're at with your beard right now.
Yeah.
Has been growing.
Yeah.
And
as beards tend to do.
And you know what? I think right now it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I think you're looking very good. You know what it is? You have a nice salt and pepper kind of look going on.
A lot more salt and pepper these days.
Well, it is. But there's still some of that pepper in there, though.
Right.
And I think in an effort of solidarity mm-hmm. with you,
right.
I am going to also grow mine out. I won't do the neck beard thing like you said, so I'll shave underneath.
Yeah.
I'll shave underneath.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep this just growing out, though.
Yeah.
And we'll see where we can get with it.
Well, I can't promise that I'm going to grow out my beard. So, you know, the wife is extremely opposed to it.
Where is she at right now on what you got going on?
She much prefers me clean shaven.
Really?
Yeah, but if I'm going to have a beard, she likes it, you know, well kempt.
Well like groomed. This.
Yeah.
Will she groom it for you?
Is that a... that's a bit of a personal question. Yeah, but...
She'll groom it for you? That's a personal question?
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it depends on how I guess she groomed.
Oh, he's. Oh, okay. That wasn't some kind of innuendo.
The way you said it,
that sounded like it certainly sounded like a double entendre.
It could have been, but I wasn't trying to go there. Though.
My wife is grooming me.
you're getting groomed.
I'm getting groomed.
You're getting groomed. And it hasn't picked up. That's the problem. She's been trying to groom you for a long time, right?
I'm not sure what this conversation is referring to at this point. I have no idea how to respond anymore.
That's awesome. So I will be growing mine in solidarity with you. So there you go.
Well, you might be doing it in solidarity with yourself. You know, it could come to pass that, you know, a year from now, you've got the long, glorious beard and I'm clean shaven.
I can only hope.
A full roll reversal.
I might try. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to do it.
Yeah.
But I'll have to shave underneath.
Might have to change the show logo. shit.
All right.
Hey,
so
hang on. I gotta talk about something here. I actually... This week, I think I've stumbled onto something big.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm listening to you.
And I think there may be, I may have uncovered evidence of a conspiracy with Amazon, of all things.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me hear this.
All right. So.
Based me.
So, you know, this week I'm you know, putting on underwear and I'm looking at my underwear and I'm, you know, they're holy and you know
they're not like, yeah, you're looking to declare underwear bankruptcy.
I was declaring underwear bankruptcy. All right, so I go on Amazon and order a 12 pack of boxer briefs.
All right,
you know, and it says it'll arrive between, you know, 2 and 4 same day. Like, it's like, all right, great. So I put on the one pair of underwear and toss the rest. Right. Well, they arrive on time in the window of schedule. And so the next day I go to put one on, and it turns out they're smalls.
Oh.
Right. So, I mean, it's not good. Not good. So I'm like, shit. I know I ordered larges, you know, and it got small. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just return these, you know, and I did dig up another pair of, you know, clean underwear. So I did find one more that I could wear.
I gotcha. You
know, for the day. So put in another order. Okay. And this is like 3 days ago. And, you know, same thing. Be here, you know, next morning, you know, between 7 and 10 a.m., whatever. So it's all right. Perfect. And that order has now, I just got the, it didn't come. And next day it didn't come. And I'm like, oh, fuck, man. And I just got the notice this morning that the order's been lost. So I've been going commando for like 4 days now.
You know?
So I think Amazon doesn't want me to wear underwear.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think that's what it is. I mean, what the
hell,
man?
They send you the wrong one the first time, and then
the second time, all of a sudden,
we can't find it?
Right. What are they doing to me? You know? I've been freeballing here, man.
Amazon's looking for you to go commando, huh?
Right. You know?
You know, I'm going to tell you, on a personal level, I am not a fan of commando.
You know, here's the thing. I'm getting to be kind of an old man now, so unless I shake the hell out of it, you know, I'm going to have a dribble spot. So I mean, and that's the thing. You're in a public restroom or something, standing in a urinal, and you got to shake your pecker 15 times. You know, people looking around at you.
You're like Jerry Lee Lewis up there.
Then you got to kind of milk it a little bit. You know, get that last drop out. So it's like you know, I'm thinking that I'm going to walk out of bathroom one day and get, you know, arrested on Pee Wee Herman charges or something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hope not.
So going commando is not the best thing in the world, you know?
You know, when you put this on here, I actually thought you had an Amazon conspiracy.
Yeah, right.
I really did. I was like, 50. You know, there's odds are that he's uncovered something.
I mean, seriously. The universe is conspiring against me.
I think it's a safe bet that you should declare underwear bankruptcy once a year.
Oh, yeah. I normally do. You know,
yeah.
I mean, well, it's anywhere between 6 months and a year that I declare underwear bankruptcy. And the ratio really depends on how much Taco Bell I eat.
Or Chipotle.
Chipotle. Right? How the hemorrhoids are acting, you know, sort of. There's a lot of variables in how often you.
Absolutely, there's a lot of variables.
And I only buy black underwear.
Yes, I only buy black underwear.
Because
no, I'm with you.
I don't want to see what's going on.
Or gray. Black or gray.
Nah, got to go black.
I mean, I would prefer black, but if there's some gray mixed in there, I'm not opposed.
Yeah, I'm not.
Definitely nothing light. I don't want any light colors, though.
No. Way too much OxyClean required for that.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that.
No. Nah,
I like black like my shirts. I like my shirts black. I like, you know, I like black.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you go black, you never go back.
That is true. But the black shirts are a little too hot, you know. And especially now with all this global warming, man, you can't be wearing black shirts.
Oh, yeah. No,
What's going on with that?
Definitely wear black. Yeah. Definitely wear black. I got my black Bruise Travelers shirt on right now.
You do, and it looks good. We got the new blue Bruise Travelers shirts in.
Yes.
With the sublimated, you know.
Well, this is vinyl, but.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
The next one will be sublimated, though.
Right. Yeah.
And next week, we're going to bring you the Anarchist Guild shirt.
Oh, did
that'll
you get
look
the
like
logo?
This. Yeah, that'll look like this.
Did we
no, not the
logo?
Florida Man one yet, though. We don't have that one yet. It's still in the works, but we're
getting. So we're just doing the Anarchist Guild.
Yeah, just the logo itself, though.
Okay.
So that'll be nice. So,
right. Is it front or back?
I was going to do front.
Just one on the front?
Yeah, I was just going to do one on the front.
Okay.
Some of these are kind of like tester ones right now, just to kind of figure
starter.
It out,
that's a good
figure
starter.
What's going on.
Yeah. But I think I want more of the front badge and something bigger on the back.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to figure that out.
We'll work that out. Yeah, but I like that we got the ball rolling on it.
And tonight I'm going down. Oh, so last Saturday after the show, I actually hit Green Bench Brewing,
mm-hmm.
St. Pete Brewing.
Right.
Overflow
right.
And Cycle.
Okay. Damn.
So all four of them downtown.
Yeah.
So there's only one more in downtown St. Pete I haven't hit yet.
Right.
Which was which is Bayboro, which I would say for their artwork on their cans is probably the best.
Oh.
So, but hit all those places. And I will say St. Pete Brewing had a really good red. A really good red.
Yeah.
Like that one.
Nice.
Overflow had some good sours. So I kind of like the sours now.
Mm. Sours?
Yeah, the sour beers.
What defines a sour beer?
It being sour, I think, for one.
Like, what do they do to make it sour?
You know, I don't know
is
all
it like
the exact.
Fruity or?
I think a lot of them. A lot of the sours are fruity.
Yeah, I would like think if you went sour, it'd have to start fruity.
They have one at Troubled Waters mm-hmm. that they do with Sour Patch Kids. As a matter of fact, and that is a really, really good, refreshing beer.
No, that's just got to be one of the most horrifying, terrible things. Like, you know. if I was in Gitmo and they were trying to, you know, coerce information out of me, they would feed me that.
Because you don't like a sweet beer then at all.
I don't
huh?
like, no, well, not necessarily. But
you don't like a cider.
Look, I don't like Sour Patch Kids. That's like, I don't understand what the fascination with sour things are. And then to combine that with beer, that's like, you know,
you got to, here's the thing, you got to really try it though.
No, I guess you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't no. have to.
But you don't tell me what
I think
do.
That's one of the reasons I like to get
fucking
flights.
Status making me try beer.
It's one of the reasons I like to get flights though.
Yeah.
Like you ever go to breweries and get flights?
No, I pretty much know the kind of things I like. So, you know.
So you don't want to try nothing else?
Nah, not really.
Oh. See, I love going to a brewery and I like getting a flight and getting like four beers in a flight.
Right.
And so the one of the beers that I want to get ultimately when I pick my four beer flight is I want like whatever your number one beer is that right. you're like the one that you started first, right?
Right.
Because that should be the one that you make the best.
Yeah, your flagship beer.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. normally that's like a Pilsner lager.
Right. Yeah. I like a Pilsner, I like a lager.
Something that's
like
a Bud or a Bud Light-ish kind of beer. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Then the second one that I want to go with is if they have a red.
Okay.
Always like a red.
Reds can go either way. There's some really good reds and some, eh.
Yeah. No. You're right. You're right. No, you're right. Absolutely. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not.
Right.
And then three and four is where I take risks.
Okay.
Like Grindhouse had a jalapeno one.
That might be interesting.
That was supposed to be hot, but it was not hot.
Yeah, I don't know how.
But it was good. No, it was really good, though.
Yeah, I bet
really
that's good. An interesting flavor. Yeah.
So, and I always try, like, if they got a cider, I'll go with a cider or a sweet beer or a sour. Like, I'm not a heavy beer drinker. I don't
right.
like the big heavy. The heaviest thing I go with is a red, basically.
Yeah.
And so I always try to pick a. I actually would like to. Down the road, if we can do one of these events, like at Brews Travelers, where we're letting them know ahead of time and we're going.
Right.
I literally want to order all the beers.
Right.
I want to order every beer they have and have them all just lined up.
Well, you were talking about this a bottle swap.
So
thing,
the, yeah,
bottle
so,
share.
So tonight at
What's
Southern, yeah. So tonight at Southern Lights, they have this thing called a bottle share, and I don't really know what it is.
I don't know.
And
that,
here's
what that
the
is.
Thing:
Do you bring
I actually
in beer
did.
Or?
You're supposed to bring in a bottle, I think. Now I'm not bringing in a bottle.
Right.
I'm going there raw.
Right.
I'm going there just raw dog.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go down there and find out what this thing's all about.
Right.
So, yeah. Which is nice. Kind of got invited. I've been doing a lot of messaging I've been doing a lot of friend requests on Facebook. Like,
right.
Yeah. You know, building up the, you know.
The following.
Well, you know.
And the connections with the different breweries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what the funny thing is that it really does go to show you, though, that people that like craft breweries are on every side of the political aisle. Because some of these people post about politics. And it's just funny that like my feed now has like you know just different stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, got it. Politics is coming in because you're following beer.
Well, politics is coming in because the people that I'm following also post about that stuff too.
Right.
I'm not really posting about that stuff.
Yeah.
Other than the show, like I put the show up every week, but like other than that, I'm not really posting too much about it. I'm posting about beer.
Right.
But it's funny to watch like to see some of these you know all these different people and their different takes on stuff and. So that's kind of cool. But like last weekend we did a bunch of different breweries and it was a lot of fun. Overflow was like, and everybody's got their annual celebration of like, you know, we've been around for 5 years and, you know, the 5 year celebration. Honestly, these people just find any reason to be able to throw an event.
Yeah.
Which, you know, God bless them for it, you know. And,
it's funny. We've been here for 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
I remember going to Boston one time and just sitting in this little pub and looking out the window. And across the street from this little pub, and I don't know the name of the pub, it was an old cemetery. And it happened to be where both Samuel Adams and Paul Revere are buried.
Oh, no okay? shit.
And so I'm sitting there, and the waiter comes over and said, yeah, this is the only place in America where you can order a Sam Adams while you're looking at his grave.
Yeah, right?
And I thought, okay, yeah, that's you're pretty old joint here. You know what I'm saying? And it was ancient. I mean, it was probably a 300-year-old tavern. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, that just popped into my head. Random thoughts with Adrian.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So, hold on. Let me go back to the bottle share event thing. So for those of you unfamiliar with bottle shares, they are gatherings of craft beer lovers where each attendee brings a bottle of beer or two or five or 10 to share with the group.
Oh, okay. So basically,
I really should bring some beer with me.
Yeah, you need to bring some beer. It sounds like a super spreader event.
It does a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, interesting. Interesting. I don't know that that's kind of cool that a brewery would do that, because on the nights they're doing that, they're not making any money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. Kind of odd. Wonder if there's a cover charge.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out.
Yeah. Anyway. What else is going on in your world, man?
Okay. So the other thing, this gets into the news stuff that I'm talking, that we wanted to talk about this week, but mm-hmm. I wanted to bring up the, so around the country right now, there are protests at college campuses.
Okay.
Like there's always protests at college fucking campuses because college kids ain't got nothing better to do than protest or whatever. Right.
Right? Yeah.
But
they're very angry young people.
Yeah, some of them are. Yeah, especially. I always find it funny is that, you know, your parents have to be fucking somewhat rich in order to go to some of these fucking schools that they're protesting.
Right, yeah.
And like for you to be like, America sucks, this and this, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
well,
you're part of like the privileged 1% in your bitching.
There's a lot of, you know, people there on scholarships too. And, you know, they're filling their quotas, so to speak.
But here's the thing, though. The people on scholarship, oh, so you mean that somebody's helping you go to college?
Right.
That you're angry about? Right. That you want to fucking tear down the system?
What a horrible country.
Which, don't get wrong, I'm agreeing with you, tearing down the system. Like, I'm with you. I don't understand why you're with you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But look.
You're literally getting an Ivy League education that you will be one of the captains of industry in America with.
Yeah.
Unless if you're there doing, you know, I don't know, women's studies or something.
I'm sure some of them are doing that. But,
right.
But so you got these.
Then you're going to be an angry lesbian.
So you got these protests going on all over the country right now.
Right.
And the thing is this, everybody's freaking out. And then, like, it almost, like, especially now when I watch TV, there is no opinion on there on either side that they're arguing that I actually agree with.
Okay, like,
so I'll give you the protest.
All right.
So these people are saying, oh, these are, you know, these are pro-Hamas protests and stuff like that, right?
No.
No, they're not.
Yeah. And well, hang on. Having said that, in those crowds, I'm sure there are some people that sympathize with or even justify Hamas's actions, which I don't believe are justifiable.
Yeah. No, absolutely there are. But these people are against the killing of tens of thousands of people in Palestine.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're arguing about.
Yeah.
And for people to be like, these pro-Hamas protests just completely takes away, like, any semblance of having an actual discussion about the issues. Which, again, oh, wrong. Anybody that says they're pro-Hamas protests are doing it on purpose. And they're doing it to avoid actually having a discussion about the issues.
Without question. Without question.
Now, in most of the stuff that I've seen, these people are just giving their opinion, right? Their freedom of speech. And in one aspect, I may not agree with what they're saying.
Right.
But what I do agree with is that
Say it.
What makes America a great country is that, you know what? People can go and say whatever the fuck they want.
Used to be able to.
Yeah, not so much no more.
Used to be able to.
But I think the thing that kills me is this. Let's just, for the record, say that what they're saying is anti-Semitic.
Right.
I don't care.
Right. I don't care.
They're allowed to say anti-Semitic things. They can say from the river to the sea. They can say, like, you can say that stuff.
Right.
You know, words are not violence. And the right at one point agreed with this. Governor Abbott agreed with this until he didn't agree with this.
Well, let me explain why that is. Okay. There's a very simple reason for all this. Okay. The change, and it has been a very dramatic recent change across a lot of politicians. They've changed their position on this. And the reason that is Mossad has reached out to many, many American politicians and shown them all the dirt that they have on them. I'm not even joking.
I bet you're not.
That is not a joke at all. Okay? That is literally why you have so many people. Because for years, Hamas has been, or not Hamas, might as well be Hamas, Mossad, which is, if you don't know, it's Israel's intelligence service, comparable to our CIA.
Yeah.
Mossad has been, you know, basically spying on, and they're exceptionally good at it, you know, high-ranking American politicians and businessmen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's what they do. They've hacked their phones. They've hacked their email. They've hacked their, you know, their computer systems. They are very, very good at compromising people's information. So they collect all that information, and then when they need American public opinion swayed in one way or another, they go to these people and say, "Here's what we've got on you. You know, you're going to toe our line." And that's why you've seen so many people take such, make like such radical changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've had to. Because
the hypocrisy is too blatant.
And this sounds like a bit, but it's not. Now, do I have any, like, smoking gun evidence of that? No, I don't. But one thing I do know without question is that Mossad has done that in the past. They've been caught blackmailing politicians in the past. And I know they absolutely have the technical capability to do it. Okay, and that's why, and it's
means
not
motive
just,
is opportunity.
It's not just U.S. politicians, a lot of European politicians. It's basically anyone that they need to keep in check, because you know it's just unimaginable that we live in a world where a nation can go in and mass murder civilians, bomb hospitals, bomb refugee camp, have mass graves full of civilians, women and children, many of them with their hands tied, who were executed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This, there's no way in hell that under normal circumstances, like, for example, if France started doing this in, say, Tunisia, you know, or whatever, you know, pick a place like that, then there would be, you know, the entire world would be totally opposed to him.
Yeah, up in arms. Everybody right. would be, yeah. UN would put a resolution together
and
condemning it.
And one of the people that, you know, that the Mossad has the dirt on is Joe Biden, you know,
mm-hmm.
and chances are Greg Abbott. And the new Speaker of the House. I mean, they've got the dirt on everyone.
Well, look at the 180 that he did.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not going to give any foreign aid. I'm championing the bill.
And now it's gone so far that we are on the precipice. And Congress has already passed a resolution saying that the phrase "from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free" is anti-Semitic. You know what I'm saying?
Genocidal.
Yeah, right.
It's even worse than that.
Yeah, it's Well, I don't think Congress went that far. They said anti-Semitic.
Said
genocidal. But there are talking heads that are calling it genocidal, which is the ultimate irony, because it is literally the other side in this conflict that is committing genocide.
Yeah.
You know? And here's the thing. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because what the Mossad does not have is dirt on everybody else in the world.
Yeah.
You know, so eventually, and again, it's already happening. I mean, people are seeing through the bullshit right now.
No, but they're still attempting to distract. The whole college protest thing is actually a distraction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The amount of press that's been given to it. Again, yeah. I'm not saying that they're not doing it on purpose. I'm saying that they're purposely distracting, because in the same week that that's going on, they found a mass grave of 400 bodies in Gaza.
Right.
Some of them had uniforms on still, like doctors' uniforms.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, and don't get me wrong, look, I do think that the argument about...
And some of them were bound.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't kill someone and then zip tie their hands behind their backs.
After the fact.
Right. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're killing someone whose hands are zip tied...
That's a problem.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really the good guys when you do that.
No. No, you're not even close to the good guys.
But here, and
you're the fucking Nazis.
And here's the problem. In this situation, there's no good guys.
Mm-mm. Well,
because Hamas is not good guys either.
Hamas is gone, man. There is nothing left of Hamas.
Very little. There's still some left.
I mean,
well, that's why they got to go in the last city.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No. So basically, you have Hamas has ceased to exist as a functional fighting force. Yeah. Okay. There may be some stragglers hiding, you know, but they are no longer a threat. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Because of all the atrocities that Israel has committed, the moment they stop shooting, there is going to be another terrorist organization rise up like that,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they've
you can't go in
and commit those many atrocities without making a whole lot of people who hate you and want to destroy you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are already a lot of people that hated you and want to destroy you for the atrocities you've committed for the past 70 years.
Look, and here's the thing. So let's say we all live in America, right? And there's right. another country that was ruling over us. And that we didn't like that they were ruling over us.
Right.
But then every once in a while, they bombed a house and they killed your brother.
Right.
Are you going to like those people? Or are you going to use a suicide bomb to go after them?
Right. Yeah. Like, exactly.
When you've left them with nothing left to live for, and you're still oppressing them.
Right.
You're going to want to get your revenge.
Well, not to mention they drove your grandparents off their own land.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, or your parents, depending on how old you are.
You know, and again, I don't even want to look. Hamas is not good guys either, which is why Netanyahu and them probably shouldn't have supported them to get them in charge.
Right.
But at any rate, like, there's so many different bad sides going on here. But then in America, when you have all these people that are actually, look, most of them are peacefully protesting. Some of them are getting a little loud. They're right. overtaking spaces in public areas and doing stuff like that. But for the most part, they're just out there protesting.
Right.
You don't have to agree with them to respect the fact that they should be allowed to protest.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing.
They'll be sending the cops in on them.
They've turned it into that the protesters are violence. That is violence. And it's that whole concept that now words are violence.
Yes.
You know.
Which the right is now saying that the left is doing.
And so they're talking about how dangerous this is
mm-hmm.
For you know, Jewish kids at colleges, you know.
Mm-hmm.
However, I haven't heard any actual stories of Jewish kids getting, you know, harmed.
Not
by
really.
Protesters.
No. It's all done kind
right.
of
like they felt threatened.
And part is that there's a bunch of Jewish kids that are the protesters too.
Exactly. Exactly. I would say that, you know, probably among Jews in America.
I don't think that the majority, but I think that they're a sizable enough minority that it matters.
A significant number of American Jews who are like, what the fuck is Israel doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that even the ones that still support Israel are like, yeah, this is not good. This is getting hard to justify.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the fact that we can't separate, and again, this is by design, being opposed to the actions of the Israeli government and hating all Jews.
Yes.
They are totally two totally different things.
Yeah, but the people on the pro-Israel side don't want that, though,
right.
because it would make them have to be held accountable for their actions.
Right. It's like saying that I'm opposed to England's actions in some other country. Okay. I'm opposed to England, say, going into Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So therefore, I hate all Christians because England is a Christian nation. Okay, by definition, they have the Church of England. It is their own. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Basically that would be the same analogy. So nobody says, "Oh, well, you don't like the fact that England is doing this one political thing or engaged."
So you hate all Christians.
So you hate all Christians. I mean, that just it's completely illogical.
But it's here's the thing for Israel. It's the best
right.
deflection you can
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because when they call the protests, they're pro Hamas protests.
Right. Yeah.
Not pro Palestine protests, or not that you want to stop seeing the slaughtering of innocent women and kids.
I'm okay with them doing that.
You're just pro Hamas.
I'm okay with them doing that as long as anyone who is pro Israel is now called pro genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you call the Palestinian protesters pro Hamas, you got to call the pro Israelis pro genocide. You know, it's this fucking world, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing how tight a grasp they've gotten over the conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just think about how much control that people in power now have over the conversation. And it's always,
they've always had it though. That's
it's getting worse though. It's definitely getting worse.
In some ways it's getting worse, but in some ways it's getting better.
What do you think is how it's getting better?
Well, because you have a lot of different other media outlets that people are out there, you know, discussing the issue that are bringing it much more to light. They get much more play than it has in the past.
I don't know that that's actually true. I don't know. I feel like from what I'm seeing here, it seems like everything by design is always being driven into two camps.
Well, that's true.
Okay. And by everybody. Everybody does this. You know, the people with the nuanced take, or the people saying, well, here's where you're wrong and here's where you're wrong, but here's where you're right and here's where you're right. Those people don't get the time of day. Either you are a complete and utter anti-Semite, okay, or you are, whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's no middle ground. There's no reasonable, conversation to be had. It's just like everything else in this country. It's one side or the other. You got to be on one.
Yeah.
Now, there's no...
Well, look, here's the thing. Look, I think that the don't ban it and don't make it mandatory.
Right.
But, and this is the one thing I wanted to... This another part of it I wanted to bring up. You can say that people can protest without supporting what they're saying.
Right.
Like, I just don't want the government to be involved.
Right.
Like, period. I want people to say what they want. I don't want the government to be involved. That's all I want. But sometimes whenever you're saying that, you're automatically, well, then you support what they're saying.
Right.
Well, not necessarily.
No, I don't.
I just support that they get to say it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
It's the First Amendment, folks.
Yeah.
You know, this is, yeah, it's.
I think that's the part that irks me the most is that I just, why can't you be okay with someone's, like you can say what they're saying is bad.
Right.
I don't want them to say that stuff.
Right.
I don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
But then also say, but I don't want the government to do anything about it.
Right. Right.
I don't want them to suppress that speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't care what they're saying.
I certainly don't want them to use Orwellian tactics to change that speech and convince everyone it's something that it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the Ministry of Truth.
No, and that's what we're getting right now.
Yeah. That's definitely where we are.
Because if you talk to people that were on the ground in some of these places,
yeah,
based off of media reports, you can see the spin.
Right.
You can see how they're saying it in a way. And again, both sides are just complete hypocrites in this.
Right.
Like Greg Abbott, like, and I know you got here. I just signed a law protecting free speech on college campuses.
Right.
Like, just literally, he made a video of him signing this fucking thing. And then it's like, anti-Semitism needs to be stopped.
Right. Yeah.
Hold on. So you can have free speech as long as you don't hate the Jews?
Right. Yeah.
Let's go with the right's contention or Abbott's contention that what these people are saying is anti-Semitic.
Right.
Let's just say, okay, it is.
Okay.
Fuck you. They're allowed to say it.
Right.
You're allowed to be anti-Semitic,
yeah,
racist,
right,
homophobe.
Yeah.
You name your fucking shit for hate speech. You're allowed to say it.
Right.
And yes, you should defend it.
Right.
Because you want somebody to defend it when you say some dumb shit.
Not anymore. Not from the people in the positions of power. They
None of them are, though.
They want everybody thinking the exact same way.
Oh, yeah. Look, look, this election comes down to two sides that have so blatantly abandoned the very principle in which they're running on,
mm-hmm,
that it's not even funny. That,
right,
with only a very limited look at what they've actually done in this election cycle, disproves their entire point.
Right.
Look, you have the Democrats right now. We're here to defend democracy. Literally, in this election, Joe Biden was pushed through,
and they were
taking people off the ballot,
right,
in states.
Yeah.
It happened in Florida. It happened around the country.
Yep.
They literally rigged the system to make sure that democracy wasn't represented.
To make sure Biden had no challenges. Yeah.
And that's the side that is hinging their
pro-democracy
shit on. We're defending democracy. Now, the right,
which, fuck democracy, it really sucks.
Yeah. And then the right, who's talking about free speech everywhere,
right,
the second, boy, something happens in fucking Israel,
yeah,
all of a sudden, that whole thing is, well, what we need a safe space for the Jews.
You know, it is.
What the fuck?
And the funny thing is I can't believe the right is so pro-Israel because they're also so fucking fascist. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but then again, Israel is now acting like a fascist state.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Israel is literally acting like Germany did in the 1930s.
Hold on. And they claim that the Columbia protesters are the fucking brown shirts.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like everything is the complete opposite of reality.
Yeah.
You know? And people accept this shit, you know? But again, just know why it's happening. And the reason it's happening is because Mossad has the dirt on everyone.
Yeah. I guess. You know? I mean, here's the thing. It is
it's one the only thing that makes sense.
It is one of the things that makes sense.
Yeah.
But hold on. I do want to do the creme de la creme of hypocrisy or of Teapot calling the kettle black. I do want to start with this one, especially. Okay. Hillary Clinton claims Trump wants to kill his opposition like Putin and Kim Jong-un in wild rant pleading for Americans to vote for Biden. Okay, hold on a second here. Like, there's a website called Clinton Body Count.
Right.
And maybe you can't pin all of them on the Clintons.
that number might be a little inflated.
But it ain't that inflated.
But there's some of them that, you know, if I had to bet my life on, some of those I would bet that the Clintons ordered those people killed.
Yeah. Okay, so this, I think that what is going on right here is something that we would like to call projection.
Yes. Right?
Because if Clinton won, this is what Clinton would do.
Right.
So she's thinking, well, I guess if Trump wins, he's going to do the same fucking thing.
Right.
Because to claim that Trump wants to kill his opposition, which, look, may or may not be true, but Clinton definitely wanted to kill her opposition.
I'm sure Trump would kill his opposition if he thought he could get away with it.
I'd have less. I will say this. I definitely have less faith in Trump being able to pull it off than I do in the Clintons being able to pull it off.
Yeah, the Clintons
Jesus
are
Christ.
Very, very good at it. Yeah. The Trump, he'd probably fuck it up. he'd end up on charges for...
This guy can't keep anybody fucking quiet.
Right. Exactly.
Like, he can. Like, how come Stormy Daniels didn't die of like a fucking... Of a exploding fucking... dildo.
If she had hooked up with Clinton, she'd be dead by now.
Yeah, absolutely. Be fucking dead by now.
So
Jesus Christ.
But, hey, you segued away from the Abbott thing too quick. Did you see this video of this reporter in the hang on a second. I'm gonna play this clip for you. You'll hear the audio. It's only 16 seconds, but it's a video from UT Austin where the protests are going on, and it is the Texas state troopers attacking this journalist literally with a video camera on his shoulder. So he's probably from, like, you know, either the local news
Somebody with an actual newsroom.
Yeah, like, this is not, you know, like a just some
rando with a
calling
camera.
Themselves a journalist.
Which those people are journalists too. I'm not trying to dismiss it.
I'm not either, but I'm just saying this guy was clearly
a journalist.
A
video journalist that has a big camera worth a lot of money.
With a network.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and listen to this, and I'll play it for you here. And that whole move back thing, that was the cops telling the rest of the media, who was all there with, like, video cameras and you know, microphones and everything like that, to move back. But they grab one guy and just kick the shit out of him.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, and hang on a second. And this is the Texas State Troopers, the same ones that were there at Uvalde and didn't go in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Hold on. You guys.
Well, those cowards had cameras.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Not guns.
Right.
Fucking pussies.
I know. I saw that, and that just, you know, God, I hate this world. I hate this country. You know, hate cops. Yeah. I mean, I have gotten to the point now where I just absolutely hate cops. I've got no use for them whatsoever.
You know what it is? I'll tell you this. I hate government.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes.
And that is the enforcement arm of that government.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't, I you're right. I don't like them. I don't have
any
respect for them.
I've got no use for them.
I just don't, I don't want anything to do with them.
You're right. Yeah. Yes, that's kind of where we stand. Folks, if you were wondering where we stand on the political spectrum, that's it. We have zero use for government, period, end of story. Don't want it, don't need it, wish it was all gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, they fuck shit up all
everything.
The time. Again, yeah. Look, I'm watching Ozarks. If you want to talk about fucking government fucking shit up in a fucking, like, overall, it's that one. Like, when you can get a drug cartel kingpin off the fucking, off the streets, right? Because he wants to close down his whole thing to go legit, right? And they're like, no, we want you to stay around for another 10 years.
Right. Yeah, I don't recall the plot on it. It's been years since I watched it.
But, like, again, it's one of these things where whenever, look, government always fucks it up. They always make things worse. They don't make anything any better.
That's because government is comprised almost exclusively of really bad and really stupid people. So when you have a bunch of really bad and really stupid people with a whole lot of power,
yep,
that is the end result.
Yeah, that have the monopoly of force.
Yeah.
And that you've let them in every aspect of your life.
I mean, seriously, think about this, folks. Think about this, folks. The election for the most powerful person in the world, arguably the president of the United States of America, is between two people who nobody in America trusts, except for a handful of just crazy fucking lunatics.
Yes.
The average rational American looks at the two candidates that we have to be the most powerful person on the planet and says, oh, God, look, here's the thing. Would you trust either Donald Trump or Joe Biden to do your taxes for you?
No.
Would you trust them to manage your retirement fund? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I wouldn't trust them to house sit for me.
Right. Yes. Yes.
None of
right.
them.
Right. That's a good point. Would you trust them to watch your underage daughter?
No.
Right. Fucking both of these guys are in the pedophile world.
Look,
you know what
I
saying?
Wouldn't trust
fucking sniffy Joe Biden. You know what I'm saying? How fucking creepy is that shit? He's always sniffing little kids and like rubbing on them and shit. And then you got fucking Epstein's best friend, Donald Trump.
Grab him by the pussy.
Who's literally been accused in court of raping a 13-year-old. I mean, that's what we're talking about. The dumbest and the most evil human beings always ascend to the pinnacle of power. It is not the people that are the problem. It's not about getting the right people in there. It's about destroying the fucking system that the stupid and evil can use to fuck your world up.
Hold on. And you know how you can tell this is the case, by the way?
Hmm.
Because both of their best attributes are that they're not the other guy.
Right, exactly.
Like your
well,
campaign
at least
he's slogan.
Not that guy.
Yeah. If your campaign slogan is, I'm better than that guy.
Yeah.
Then the bar is so low.
And how long have we been saying that? How long have we been going for the lesser evil? Well, eventually, when you start going for the lesser evil, it keeps getting worse every time and more evil.
And it has.
Yeah,
and it has.
Right.
Look, I look back to like the first Bush and I'm like, wow.
Well, he sucked pretty bad, but you know.
Yeah, but he was, but like how far have we gone that you look back at like Bush or
right.
like Clinton,
yeah.
like even Obama,
right?
Like you look back at the past presidents and you're like,
I hated Obama and I'd take him over both these guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hated Bush. I'd take him over both these guys. You know, I mean, that's where, just wait till the next round.
Oh God, I can only imagine
right.
how worse it's going to get.
How, and it will.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Will. Yeah, it's going to be. Now, look, thankfully, it's eventually going to, end in either a devastating civil war, a nuclear war. The aliens are going to fucking invade. AI is going to take over. Something is going to happen that is going to actually destroy society so that we can, rebuild it.
Yeah.
So there is hope.
Well, look,
there is hope.
It goes with the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, by the way, because as a politician, I don't like her at all. However, her complaint against the leadership that goes on in Washington, D.C. isn't necessarily wrong either.
What's her complaint?
Well, her complaint was that Mike Johnson was talking one way and then got elected and do his, and they got, you know, put as Speaker of the House and then completely 180'd everything with, that was right. his issues.
Right.
Like, oh, she's not wrong.
No.
He totally did that shit. She's batshit crazy, too.
I'm actually surprised she's intelligent enough to make that observation. Because I'm pretty sure her IQ is in the 80 range,
you know. Yeah. And then you got yeah. you know, and you got McCarthy that was digging on Matt Gaetz because again, that shit that Matt Gaetz been accused of, he probably fucking did too.
Oh, fucking
there's
Matt
motherfuckers
Gaetz, yeah.
in
Absolutely.
Jail because of that shit.
Yeah,
the guy for the Seminole County tax collector guy
right?
was I forget his name, but like he
went to jail for sex trafficking.
Yeah,
yeah, right. And
that was Gaetz fucking Gaetz running
boy.
Buddy.
Right? Yeah, yeah, right. Matt Gaetz is a pedophile.
All your heroes suck.
Right.
None of these politicians should ever be your hero to begin with.
No.
None of them are good.
Right.
You know what it is? I almost, like, my thing is, like, look, there's a couple I like. Like, I like Thomas Massie, liked Rand Paul when he was there, or like Ron Paul when he was there, like Rand when he was there.
Fuck those guys, too.
But still, fuck them all.
Right.
No. Fuck every one of them.
Right. Yeah.
Don't get rid of everybody.
If you're part of the system, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
I didn't used to believe that.
I know.
But man, I'm telling you.
I got you there.
Yeah.
I got you there. Well, kicking and screaming.
Hold on. I actually think they got me there.
Well, yeah.
No, don't get wrong. I think you going, no, see? No, right there. There, right there. Like you pointed out, it was definitely a plus.
But
man, these guys have done it.
Then again, I am standing on the shoulder of other anarchists before me who I thought they were just wrong or, you know, so.
Oh, hold on. And I said this the other day. Listen. You remember, like, Steve LaBianca, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he's right, and I hate him even more for it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, let me explain why I hate him even more for it. What were you doing there? What were you doing
right.
in the group anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't have been there. At least, if you believed all this shit, you shouldn't have been there.
Again, what we're talking about is... No, fuck it. I'm not even going to bring it up.
No, bring it up.
No, I'm
it
not
It bears going. Repeating.
All right. So Steve LaBianca was a libertarian, and this was at a state convention?
Yeah.
Of state. The Libertarian
no,
Party.
No, national.
A national convention. National convention of the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're there, and he is basically telling the entire audience that the act of voting itself is a violation of the fundamental principle of libertarianism, which is the non-aggression principle, that you will not initiate force to achieve a political objective.
Yes.
Okay. And he's saying that the act of voting itself is initiating force. And I actually now agree with him.
But yeah. He was violating his own thing by voting there.
But he was there voting in a political group setting. At least when I finally came to that conclusion, I dropped
You're
all
not
politics.
Going there.
I never voted again after I decided that he was
yeah.
wrong. Yeah. So he was hypocritical.
That's
I'll
the part
that
pisses me off.
Yeah.
Like, so. I tend to agree with him now.
Right.
I hate him even more.
Yeah. But if he hadn't done that, he would never have made the point, and we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, so. But he... Hold on. Did that guy help get you where you needed to go? No.
Maybe.
I would say no, the opposite. I would say the opposite of that.
No, I have to say, I look back at that, and I think, yeah, he was right. Yeah.
Hold on. Would you have not gotten
if
there
nobody,
anyway without him?
You know, if nobody had ever said that to me, that the act of voting itself is initiating force, is a violent act, I don't know. I mean, I eventually would have come to that conclusion, but maybe not as quickly, you know?
All right. I guess you can give him a little bit of...
Yeah,
can give him
I'll give him
bit
a little
there.
Credit there.
All right. So let's move on here to the... have the hurricane stuff, the global warming stuff.
yeah. So, of course, because of global warming, it is going to be one of the busiest Atlantic hurricane seasons on record, which I want to say they tell us that every year. I think they tell us that every year. Yeah.
They try to, again, this is one of those fear things.
Right. But this one, all the projections are for a lot more storms than normal. They're calling for 24 named storms, those with winds 39 miles per hour or higher, and 11 hurricanes with winds of at least 74 miles an hour. Of those, six are forecast to be major with peak winds of 111 miles per hour. You know what? Actually, now that I read that, that sounds about average.
Yeah, I'm not...
Yeah, six majors, 11 total. Yeah.
Last year was supposed to be the busiest year, and it was a nothing.
Yeah, last year was a bit.
Well, I think there were two hurricanes that ended up hitting.
Didn't we get a hurricane last year?
I think there was two that ended up hitting.
Yeah.
And they fucked shit up, but there wasn't many.
We got a tropical storm last year, didn't we?
I think so.
I can't even keep track anymore. But anyway.
They always want to keep you fucking scared,
though. I hope that it's a huge year for hurricane. And I hope that, all six of those major hurricanes hit Florida. why are you laughing?
Why do you want this?
So it drives out all the fucking Yankees that have moved here. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
So I can drive from one end of my own county to the other in less than an hour.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, driving in Pinellas is so bad.
Right. Yeah.
They're so bad.
I want all you fucking snowboards and all you fucking transplants to get the fuck out of my state. Honestly, that's the only reason I ran for governor.
Was try to get people out of the state.
I swear to God, if I had won, I would have sandbagged the border. We would have seceded and become an independent republic. And you ain't getting in. I would have built the wall. Keep all you fucking Americans out.
I don't want to see people. I like Canadians. They're fun.
We can have some Mexicans because we still need our roofs done after the hurricanes and shit. But
well, that's true.
So we need
you got to bring them in.
But fuck the Canadians.
They're not going to fix it.
Right. So I'm hoping for a very active hurricane season this year. I'm hoping all those fucking condos on the beach get completely destroyed. I am looking for utter devastation.
Nice.
I root for that every year. And I swear to God, if we get like that direct hit from a Cat 5, I will be standing out in it yelling, yes, with my arm raised as debris is, smashing me in the face.
I'm going to have to get you a flag.
Yeah.
Some kind of flag.
Yes.
Because I know you're not going to do an American flag, but you're going to do some kind of flag.
Yeah.
Just something.
Anarchist guild flag.
Yeah, the anarchist guild flag.
Yeah, it's right there. We got the flag.
Well, yeah, but you
it's
need right a much bigger flag than that.
I need a bigger
that.
One than that.
You need a big, huge flag that you're just going to stand there holding it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do it, man.
I know you will.
I'll tie myself to a bridge abutment if I have to. I'm in, man.
What's funny is like every year you're right though. Every year they say it's going to be the worst year ever and this and it never is. But there is going to be one year where it's going to be.
Yeah, probably. Hey, you know why it's going to be so bad this year?
Why?
Because they cleaned up the atmosphere. I'm not even joking.
This is from the New York Times.
This is from the article here. Human-caused climate change is certainly a factor for the increase in activity this hurricane season, with natural variability likely a contributor, and cleaner air, researchers say.
Hmm.
And they just left it at that in the main article that I posted. Wait, cleaner air? So cleaner air is causing global warming? Well, yes, that's what's happening. And this is actually an older article. We covered this last year, but I just wanted to bring it back up. Here's some good news. The air we breathe is getting cleaner. But there's a catch. Some of the particulate matter in all that pollution was actually exerting a cooling effect on the climate by blocking solar radiation. In doing so, it was effectively preventing some of the global warming driven by the burning of fossil fuels. Okay. So, I understand that under certain circumstances, particulate matter in the atmosphere can act as either a reflective or, honestly, it depends on which direction it's reflecting. If it's reflecting out into space, then it is reflecting energy away and cooling the planet. If it's reflecting the ground radiation, the solar energy that's already hit the planet and is trying to escape back through the atmosphere out into space, then it's causing a greenhouse effect. What I don't understand is how the same pollution can do both. Okay? Because what they're saying is how they cleaned up the atmosphere is they made the diesel-burning ships that transit the Atlantic much, much cleaner than they used to be. Okay? So that is literally burning fossil fuels. There's less fossil fuels going into the atmosphere. Okay? Now, from what I understood from all of the history of global warming is that burning fossil fuels is causing greenhouse gases, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's literally what they've been saying for decades now.
Yep.
But now they're saying that because they made all the ships transiting the Atlantic and the Pacific so much cleaner and with so much lower emissions that the atmosphere over the oceans is much cleaner, okay? That means there's no there's no fossil fuels being burned and causing a reflective cooling effect on the atmosphere. Now, look, I get that I'm not a climatologist, and I get there may be some nuances to this, but I do not see how burning diesel fuel over the oceans reflects heat away and burning diesel fuel on land causes greenhouse gases. How the fuck is that possible? Seriously, and that's literally what they're saying. I'm going to read it. And this is from the New York Times. The good news, the air we breathe is getting cleaner, but there's a catch. Some of the particulate matter in all that pollution was actually exerting a cooling effect. Scientists are now taking a closer look at this trade-off and arriving at a sober conclusion. As we clean up the air, we also seem to making global warming a bit worse. Cleaner air means healthier people, blah, blah, blah. There is absolutely no doubt that we would all be better off in the short term if we didn't have to breathe as many dangerous aerosols, said Danielle Vicini, an assistant professor at Cornell University who has studied the relationship between air pollution and climate change. From a health perspective, it makes sense to reduce pollutants. But, fuck, New York Times, I hit a paywall. But the point is now they're saying is that because we cleaned up the air, more solar energy is getting to the earth instead of being reflected away. Okay? Because there, again, folks, look, at some point, somebody needs to say, you know what? We don't fucking know. We don't know. We don't understand this system yet. This, look, we may be causing all this shit. We may not be causing all this shit. We may have nothing to do with it. We may be just along for the ride. My fucking gut instinct, and again, I'm not a climatologist, but I'm pretty sure this planet has existed for 4.5 billion years. And during that time, it's gotten very, very hot and very, very cold. And it seems to cycle back and forth with its own system for its own reasons based on all kinds of astrophysics, all kinds of geological factors, all kinds of atmospheric conditions, all of which we have almost zero control over. The planet's going to do what the fucking planet wants to do.
And this is the arrogance of some of these people, of man, some of these people is. They think that the little bit that we do makes this huge difference,
right,
when in all reality, it's just a little bit.
Right.
It's not going to make that much of a difference.
You want to know what the bottom line is? Is that human beings can't handle the fact that nobody's in control.
Yeah.
This is the same reason that man created gods. They cannot deal with, and this is just our lack of brain evolution. We cannot deal with the fact that we are not in control. That nobody's in control, okay? And that's the reason that we come up with this shit. And even our greatest scientists and our greatest minds are still working through that fucking, Precambrian brain that says, well, they just can't deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
And Florida's a great example of it. You literally had a lake that was getting rid of a whole bunch of discharge, or a river that was getting rid of a whole bunch of discharge, and their idea was, well, let's straighten that motherfucker out.
Right.
We straighten the lake out. It goes to Lake Okeechobee, and then you have all this fertilizer runoff that's going on straight to Lake Okeechobee, and somehow it's more it's man-made pollution. Well, look, nature had a way to fix it. You were so arrogant, you just wanted to streamline it all the way down there.
Right. Right. And again, it boils down to
leave it alone.
Look, folks, if you are following this whole climate change thing and you believe in it, I just want you to know it's not your fault. It's not your fault. No, it's not your fault. It's your fucking, you know, your small, unevolved brain that can't handle the situation that man is not in control of this shit.
Yeah, that we can't do
we
nothing about
it. We are just along for the ride in some things. Suck it up. Put on your big boy pants and deal with it. Instead of writing stories that says burning diesel fuel causes global warming and then also burning diesel fuel cools the planet. You don't get to have it both ways because one of those things ain't true. All right, folks. Well, that's it for hour number one. If you'd like to hear us rant nonsensically about things that we have absolutely no idea about, in the second hour, go to patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. Sign up, become a subscriber. You get a whole bunch of swag and a second hour of content. We'll see you on the other side.